This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
My story is a peaceful one. It's a little bit sad, but I hope that you will like to hear it. So when I was 12, I made my first friend, and her name was Tiffany. She was really the first person that ever befriended me, and kind of since then we were inseparable. For 14 years, we talked every day. We saw each other almost every day. I think that we used to call each other our soul sisters because I definitely think we were on a spiritual level sisters or very connected. You hear the saying that people kind of have like a twin flame, like a twin soul, and that's who I felt like was mine. So we were always very, very close. And actually, it wasn't until we were about 27 that she ended up going to jail. She struggled with alcohol and, you know, medication and things. She struggled with depression and anxiety, and I always tried to help her. I never drank or really did anything like that, so I always tried to be somebody that could help ground her. But she did end up getting on probation and violating, and she did go to jail for 3 months. And during that 3 months, that was the longest, you know, like I said, that we hadn't seen each other. We would write each other letters, which was really fun because, you know, it was something we used to do back in middle school, reminded us of old times. And she ended up, right before she was about to get out of jail at the end of the 90 days, she sent me this letter, and it was almost as if she was saying goodbye. I should explain that Tiffany was definitely psychic in a lot of different ways. And I have always been too my whole life. And as well as I've been basically a medium since I could remember. I guess I was just kind of born that way. But so she wrote me this letter, and it felt like a goodbye because she was saying, like, you know, remember, you're always going to be my sister. I will always love you. You're such a fighter. I'm so proud of you, of everything you've done, and never forget how strong you are, you know. And she got out. It was like a late Saturday night, so technically Sunday on April 20th, and it was Easter. And the whole day, you know, when she got out of jail, she just didn't seem like herself. The whole time she was in jail, she was very clear-headed, like she was sober, and she was doing actually really, really well. And she told me that it was actually the happiest that she had been in a long time. And she seemed to get in touch again with her spirituality while she was in jail. And so the next day, she was just really out of it. And I asked her mom, you know, if she was okay. I actually had this gut feeling I needed to go pick her up and take her to the emergency room, and I should have listened to it. I didn't, because I figured, okay, she was going to go see her boyfriend and it was going to be fine. She actually sent me pictures of, like, her hair and her makeup, you know, because she was excited to see him. And she just, in these pictures, did not look like herself. It was as if her soul had just left her body and her eyes were empty. And I really knew something was wrong, and for some reason I ignored it. And that night she went to bed, and her boyfriend woke up at 5:30, and she was fine. She, you know, they didn't do anything out of the ordinary. They just had dinner and went to sleep. You know, they didn't drink, they didn't do anything like that. And he woke up again at 7:30, and she was just gone. So she passed away very peacefully in her sleep, but it was always really hard because, you know, that was the longest I hadn't seen her. And then I had plans with her the next day, and I was so excited to see her, and I never got to see her. I actually found out that she had passed away on Facebook while at work. So that was definitely hard. And what happened was the jail had accidentally overdosed her medication. So a lot of people, I guess if you are listening to this, thought that she overdosed herself, or, you know, that it was self-induced and it was 100% not her fault. So that night that she had passed, the following day, that was a Monday, I was staying in my parents' house, and they have, it's like an attic, and they have eaves, and I could hear somebody running up and down and up and down in the eaves. And that night I had a dream that she came to me in a sea of people and was just really confused, and I hugged her and said it was going to be okay. And these activities continued for, you know, almost till her funeral. And after her funeral, I had a dream about her, but it was different. I came to a house on the ocean, and right away I knew it was her house. Right away I knew that she was selling me. I've crossed over. I'm at peace. I think I helped her maybe in some way. And so I came up to this house, and I walked in, and it was beautiful. It was like, it was just around, I think it was either dusk or dawn. I can't tell you which one, but there was three big windows open, and there was these white curtains blowing in the wind. All of her art, she was an incredible painter, was all over the walls. And I came out to the beach, and she was just sitting there almost like she was expecting me. And we didn't have to really talk. The only thing that she said was, you know, actually I told her, hey, your mom is doing okay. She's making good choices in her life. And she said, that's great. And she smiled. And we didn't really have to talk. I knew she was at peace. And I still have visitation dreams of her from time to time. And, you know, I really miss her a lot. She was a really big part of my life. Another thing that happened shortly after she had passed is I was meditating and kind of asking for my guides to come through, and so I could know them better. And there, you know, she didn't really post on Facebook much while she was around, but, you know, her Facebook was, I don't know if it was hacked or what, but anyways, immediately after that meditation, there was a Facebook status that came up on her profile that just said, hey, I want to see you. So I don't know if that was a hacker or not, but either way, it was kind of comforting. So thank you so much for listening to my long story. It's okay if it doesn't get played. It's okay if it does. I'm just happy that it was listened to. It felt really nice to be able to share that. And, you know, this is such a great medium for people to express themselves and their experiences, and those who are sensitive that listen, I think it is very validating, and it really helps me, I know, personally. So, all right, thank you, guys.
If you want more real ghost stories and access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories.